anyone who is serious about following the daily liturgy knows that it's usually easier for us to relate to the gospel than to the first reading. That's typically the pattern, especially some of the Old Testament readings are hard to understand, talking about places we never heard of, and sometimes the sentiments just seem so foreign to us. We're usually in the gospel. We can understand the basic points of Jesus and the parables and his instructions to his disciples. In the case of today's readings, though, I think the opposite is true. I think we can more easily understand the first reading than the gospel. Because the first reading is basically a prayer of repentance or acknowledgement of guilt. And the gospel is Jesus saying woe to the towns around the north of the Sea of Galilee. So let's start with the first reading. I say this a little bit easier. It's the prayer of the exiles. It is the acknowledgement of meaning the Jewish exiles who used to be in Jerusalem and Judah, and they were deported to Babylon, the Babylonian exile or Babylonian captivity, and they were there for 70 years, and they had to face the reality of their situation. And here, this is a reading from Prophet Baruch. Now, Baruch is a contemporary of Jeremiah, so the time of the exile. They're acknowledging that it's their own fault. We're sinners, we've sinned, and it seems like we just don't get it. We keep sinning, our fathers and forefathers have sinned. This is the pattern that we see among us, and we're just humbly acknowledging this before you, Lord. Now, we have to understand, this is a prayer. This is not self-condemnation. They're not beating themselves up. There's a big difference between the self-talk that can be so negative and destructive and acknowledging the truth before God. See, when we close in on ourselves, we seal ourselves in a condemnation. But when we open ourselves up to God, even though we're sinners and we deserve condemnation, we're opening ourselves to redemption. Lord, to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I acknowledge that I have failed. I have not obeyed you. That's a saving thing to do. That's not a destructive thing to do. Actually, you can see this in the opposite sense. The self-talk that is self-congratulatory, you know, too positive, I'm really a good person, I'm so much better than somebody else, and I really have accomplished a lot. If that's closed in on us, that's destructive too. But if we open it up to God and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts you have given to me. So if our motive is gratitude to God, well then it's not destructive. You see the difference, that closing in on ourselves is the problem. After all, we are all sinners. What the exiles say in this first reading applies to all of us. Let's face it. There's no one in this chapel who's not a sinner. We're all sinners. And we have to frankly acknowledge it if we're going to be set free. Today's First Friday, we turn to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We don't turn to the Sacred Heart and say, we deserve better treatment from you, Lord. We say, Lord, have mercy. Or we say, Jesus, I trust in you. Because I certainly can't trust in myself. I can't base my hope for salvation on myself. I base my hope in you. That's what we see here in this first reading. And I think we can grasp that. If we have any self-knowledge, we know that this reading really does apply to us. But when we turn to the gospel, as I say, this is a little bit more difficult because Jesus is talking about places we've never been and maybe haven't heard of. And it sounds more like an Old Testament reading. Woe to you, cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida. You're worse off than Tyre and Sidon. It sounds kind of like the Old Testament. People have this impression that in the Old Testament, God was angry and he was out to destroy people. And in the New Testament, God is nice and gentle. Of course, those are stereotypes that are not true. In either case, God is always a God of mercy. And God always holds us to account, not because he wants to punish us, but because he wants to save us. But it's hard for us to get this because woe to you, just sounds like such a negative thing to say. Maybe we can understand it when we hear Jesus saying, woe to you Pharisees, you hypocrites. We understand that he's trying to provoke, he's trying to prod their conscience, trying to move them to repentance. And at least that's a category of people we can say, okay, Pharisees. Or when he says, woe to you rich, woe to you who are laughing now, woe to you who are satisfied now. We understand he's trying to wake us up from our complacency. But to say, woe to you, Chorazin, or woe to you, Capernaum, that's like a whole, that's a whole city. I mean, that notion of collective guilt just doesn't sit very well with modern thinking. We're so individual, we're so focused on individual responsibility that we don't think of collective punishment. What if someone were to stand up and say, woe to you, Las Piñas City? You say, well, Las Piñas City, it's about just 200,000 or 300,000 people. I have more people in Las Piñas. How big is Las Piñas? 500,000? I mean, hundreds of thousands of people here. You say, woe to you, is every single one of them going to be painted with the same brush? Condemned with the same condemnation? But that just doesn't sit well with us. Well, it's actually true in these woes too. Jesus is not condemning every single citizen of Capernaum. He's identifying a pattern that is destructive. He's giving a warning against a complacency that he sees in these cities. And he says, you know, what if the pagan cities had seen what you've seen, if they had seen the great works that you've seen, the miracles, they would have repented. And you haven't. You can see what the message is. Wake up. Don't miss your opportunity. That's what it is. It's not that Jesus is intent on casting people down into hell. That's what it sounds like. You, Capernaum, you will go down to the netherworld. It sounds to us like, well, go to hell, Capernaum. And that's not what it is. It's be careful. Be on guard. Be alerted to the danger that you are putting yourself in. You see, the idea that God is nice and that he's just a kind of a big grandfather figure who's giving everybody little gifts all the time, it ruins the call to responsibility and the call to conversion. God is neither an angry, condemning God, nor is he a pushover, nice guy down the street God. He's a God of love, and love is intense. He's a God of truth, and truth can be very sharp, like a sword. He's a God of mercy, but mercy exposes sin. That's what he's doing here. Another thing that throws us off in this gospel is that it's planted right in the middle of Jesus' address to the 72 disciples. Remember yesterday, he sent out the 72 in pairs to prepare the way for him. And he sent them out without anything so that they would be instruments of God and not of their own capabilities. And then as he's speaking to them, all of a sudden he says, woe to you, Chorazin. And it sounds to us like here he's talking to his disciples and then he just got so fed up with the cities that wouldn't listen to him. He knows that they're not going to listen to the 72 either. No. No, maybe it's a little bit of the an effect of how Luke has put together his material, because Matthew has these same verses, basically the same, although even a little harsher in Matthew's gospel, because Matthew compares Capernaum to Sodom. Luke knocks out the Sodom part. But anyway, it might be that in the way Luke has structured the gospel, it sounds like he's saying to the 72, woe to you, Chorazin. What he's really doing is he's alerting the 72 to the real possibility that people will not listen to them. This was in yesterday's gospel too. If someone doesn't listen to you, well then shake off the dust. Shake off the dust. Don't get caught up in it. Don't let their problem become your problem. It's not about condemnation. Remember, when just a couple days ago, when James and John wanted to call down fire on the Samaritan town. Oh, let's call down fire. Let's send them down to the netherworld. And Jesus rebuked them for that. That's not what his ministry is about. But he does use strong language, strong warnings, so that we don't go down to the netherworld. And so that's, I think, what we're to take from this. We take from the first reading the acknowledgement that we are sinners. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Lord, it's true. Have mercy on us. We take from the gospel the warning not to sit in complacency, not to receive the word and do nothing about it. Not to draw close to God and not be changed by him. That would be a disaster for us. So let's avoid disaster by humbling ourselves before the Lord, by welcoming the power of his mercy, which is poured out on us in abundance.